Good to see you. Hope you're having a good weekend. The service has been wonderful. Just thank the Lord for His presence and thank you for being worshipers. That means so very, very much. And I just pray God's blessings upon each of you here today. And I pray that He will give us all the deposit now from His Word that we need. Because we're all in different places, facing different things. But the Holy Spirit just has a wonderful way of ministering to us right where we are. I think every pastor has experienced that in the past where you've preached a message the Lord laid on your heart and someone will come up to you and tell you their situation and say, this has spoke so clearly to me. And you're thinking, well, let's see, how did that? But the Lord did. And then someone else comes up with a different scenario and said, this was just right on for me. The Holy Spirit can do that with God's Word. And without Him and without the Word, we're left to our own resources. And that usually spells trouble. Well, that always spells trouble. Okay. Hey, I want to thank you for your continued prayers and your giving for our new facility. Closer to getting in than we've ever been. They're making progress. And if you've driven by, haven't driven by there lately, I encourage you to do so. I know a lot of our ladies were there weekend before last for a rally. And thank you for that. And thank you for the prayers that are offered there. I know some of you are going by and praying. I was speaking to someone the other day, and they told me they just come by, and they will walk around the property and pray. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. From day one when we bought the property, we've been regularly going over there and praying. Mickey and I usually over there every morning, and then I'm there a few times per day. But we want that place saturated with prayer for God's and to be pregnant with the purposes of God. Amen. Well, Father, I pray You'd bless the preaching of Your Word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, be pleasing to You. And Lord, out of everything that You've shown me this week and that I've studied for and I've processed, just, Holy Spirit, You be the distributor. Bring to my mind what You want me to share. Lord, we thank You for revelation. We thank You for Your wisdom and thank You for the Word of God that's settled forever in the heavens. Thank You for the authority of Your Word over our lives. Lord, Your Word's Your Word regardless of what our opinion of it may be. So we humble ourselves before You and say, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's one thing I know about everyone in the room. And that is, you are going to face a lot of changes. Another thing I know about you is you've been facing a lot of changes. And that's been particularly true these last couple of 3 years. We've been surrounded with just everything shifting and changing around us in our culture. There's been so much disruption and so much upheaval. And yet you may be someone that in the middle of all of that, you've had something else that's been so overwhelming or something that's been pressing on you, unrelated to that, that's been difficult for you to handle and process and to war through. So we're all going to go through a lot of changes. If there was a book written about your life, if you were to write that book, an autobiography, it'd have a lot of chapters in it. And most of those chapters would cover a person or a place or an event or a circumstance that arose in your life. In some way, it would involve some change that you had to go through. Now, sometimes changes come unexpectedly. We're not ready for them. We're not expecting them. And we have nothing to do with what's happening. But yet, our lives are impacted and changed by what's going on around us. And then there are times when change is thrust upon us because of our own choices and our own decisions. Sometimes decisions in response to God's leading. Sometimes decisions made out of our flesh that lead us away from God. And in both cases, change is inevitable. Many of you may be in a season of change this morning. You may be relocating from somewhere to here or about to relocate from here to somewhere. You may be going through a change. You're about to get married. Or unfortunately, you may be someone that's seen a marriage come into a conclusion. Those kind of changes come. Why? Because we live in a world where there's still the hardness of men's hearts. and we face difficult choices and sometimes terrible changes that we have to face. I was thinking about my life and just what some of the chapters would look like and the stories. There's so many stories in the room this morning. You know, you've got God's stories and you've got other stories. But thinking on my life, I thought, well, my goodness, I have moved 15 times. That's a lot of relocating, a lot of different houses to live in. 15 times. I've been to 8 different schools, colleges, seminaries. This resulted in me being in school for 22 years of my life. I've had 8, I counted up at least 8 different occupations, different kind of jobs I've had. Everything from working in an underground coal mine to working for a little bit at a funeral home to laying carpet and building houses, doing field engineering, and there's other things. I won't spend any more time there. And then I realized, you know, I've been pastoring for 39 years. And I pastored 5 churches and interned in another church in addition to that while I was in seminary. That's several places and a lot of people. I've faced a lot of things in my life. I've traveled to kind of 26 states of our United States, been in 35 nations doing all kinds of mission work. And I have been chased by a wild black bear for foolishly lumbering into the forest around Cades Cove up in the mountains. I mean, I grew up in the country. I lived in the woods, so I just traipsed off in the wood and ended up getting run out of the woods by a black bear. No, Nikki bore witness to this. The bear chased me out of the woods. And I have been within 5 feet of a huge male lion with a long mane, a wild lion, like the one we sang about. It wasn't a caged lion. It wasn't a tame lion. Now, the lion we sang about was Jesus, and this one wasn't Jesus, okay? It was the real deal. I'm standing up in the back of one of those vehicles on the savannah in Tanzania, East Africa, and here it came. And it came right up, and I could have done that and touched it on the mane. And part of the country boy in me started to give it a go, but I decided, I think the anointing come on me, and I stayed still. And then another time, I had someone with me, and Kim and them were talking about Kenya. I was outside of miles out of Nairobi, and a friend that was with me on this mission trip, we were traipsing into the jungle. And we'd gone on driving through one of these parks, and so we stopped, and we just traipsed down, you know, through the jungle there and happened upon a river. I mean, it's like this old area. There it was. And it was looked like it was about 50 feet wide. And like right there, like 10 feet away, was a giant hippopotamus. And over there was another. There were several hippopotami. Hippopotamuses. And I'm just watching it. I mean, it's right there. Look at this big old hippopotamus. It's right here. I didn't have a clue that a hippopotamus is the most feared by human beings, the most feared animal in Africa. Over 500 people a year are killed by these raiding hippopotami. I didn't know. That's how foolish it was. The Lord watched over me. So I've had some of those kind of experiences. And I didn't even mention the fact that I've got 4 wonderful children, 8 awesome grandchildren. And I have been married for 44 years to this powerful woman down here who was born in Pasadena, California, exported to Alabama, and who has ridden an elephant. So all of these have stories wrapped around that, and you have your stories, and you have places you've been and things you've done and stuff you've seen, and there's all kind of stories in that. But most of us have part of the book that we would write would be times of difficulty when the pressure's on, when we know a chapter of our life is coming to a close and where things are about to change. Or we're facing a new situation that we're about to step into. Maybe we've been pushed into it. Maybe we've been led into it. Maybe we're just diving into it without knowing. But all of us have those times in our lives. And I want to talk about this morning, turning the page. Discerning when to open and close a chapter in your life. It can be difficult at times. I mean, honestly, sometimes it's like you may be trying to read the circumstances. Is this the Lord or is this the devil? You know? And you're trying to figure that out. Sometimes you know that you know. And that doesn't make it any easier. Well, it does make it somewhat easier, but it's still painfully difficult. Even when the changes are good, and it means closing a chapter and stepping into a new one, there's so much involved in that. I want to step into an occasion in the Apostle Paul's life where we see a chapter opening and a chapter closing. And we're going to use this is the foundation to gather our thoughts around this morning. But in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, we're told, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. That's apostolic. They sent them away. So, being sent out, again, that's apostolic, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went, and it goes on from there. And as it goes on from there, the first missionary journey that Paul and his team went on occurs. Now, think of the change that Paul had recently gone through, had gone through to get to this point. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a scholar in the Torah, the Old Testament law. He was leading a band of soldiers to arrest Christians and have them put to death and lock them up. He even held the clothes of people as Stephen, who was preaching Christ. They stoned him to death while Paul held their garments. Then he went from there with papers to arrest more Christians to a place to Damascus. He was converted. He met Christ on the way to Damascus. That's another story. Gave his life to Jesus. So when he arrived in Damascus, he spent some time blinded because he was blinded by the light that appeared before him when he was converted. Ananias came, prayed for him. Scales fell off his eyes. He was baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then the man who came there to arrest those who were preaching Christ came out of that room preaching Christ himself and became a forerunner to the Gentiles preaching Christ. Well, then they wanted to kill Paul. His name was changed from Saul to Paul in there, and they wanted to kill him. And so they let him down in a basket. He leaves the city. He goes to Arabia like for 3 years, and then there's almost another decade that he spends. Comes back to Jerusalem. Then Barnabas gets him and they head to Antioch. And now they're in a prayer meeting. And there's some prophets there and the leaders are there. And they're just getting in God's presence to get direction. And they got a clear word from God. Separate Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Paul. I'm sending them out. And so they did so. And they were sent out. That was a new chapter for Paul in his life. Now, you read on through the chapter, he goes to Cyprus, he goes up into Galatia, he's met with persecution, opposition, he has breakthrough and revival in some places, opposition and persecution in other. He gets to Lystra, it's going really well, folks are getting saved, he goes in the synagogue, people are listening to him, folks begin to be converted, they take him, then enemies come, they drag him outside of town, stone him, leave him for dead, might have been dead. There's some evidence there to suggest that he was raised from the dead. He goes back into Lystra, makes his way back eventually to Antioch, and that brings us to the end of chapter 13. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended, that's when the chapter opened, had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. There's the end of the chapter. And this is just one chapter in Paul's life. And then later he's in Jerusalem for the Jerusalem Council and they get breakthrough, a message to the Gentiles. That's another chapter. Then he comes back to Antioch and they're sent out again on the second missionary journey. He ends up in places like Philippi and Ephesus. On that first missionary journey, he writes the letter to the Galatians and then it just goes on from there. Then he comes back and he does the third missionary journey. Another chapter. Then he's sent to Jerusalem. He's arrested. He spends 2 years in prison. He could have written a book about jails that I've known throughout the Roman Empire, and I covered most of them. And he ends up eventually going to Rome, and he ends up eventually being beheaded. He may have had a fourth journey in there, but that's for another time, not today. I'm just saying, he had a lot of chapters opening and closing constantly. And you do too. Some of you just stepped across the threshold and you're in a new chapter. And some of you are getting ready to step across that one to leave one behind. I can look around the room. I know who some of you are. And I also know that those times can be vulnerable times. Let me give you three quick observations to start with. The first one is, there can be discomfort created when a chapter is about to close and a new one is about to begin. Even if it's an awesome thing. I mean, this is awesome. They heard the Holy Spirit. We're going to send you out. You're going to take the gospel into Gentile territory. That's what Paul was reborn for. And yet, wow, he got slapped in the face more than a few times on that journey. And I mean that metaphorically and literally. But it was discomforting in a lot of ways. And it can be for you too when you're going through a change. Because it can mean having to disconnect from being with people you've been with for years. I remember when Nikki and I, we've gone through that several times, of course, pastoring five different churches. You might be excited for what the Lord's showing you lies ahead, but yet your heart is torn for what you're leaving behind. So it's so important to know you're hearing from the Lord. It's going to be all right, but it doesn't mean it's easy. It could be a new job. It could be you're in a new relationship. Maybe you're about to get engaged or you're about to get married and so forth. It can be a difficult time. You know, if you study eagles, they build a big nest. And they use the same nest for a lifetime. And when it gets time to lay eggs for a new hatch of eaglets, they do repair work and get it ready for the next batch. And so the mama eagle and the eagles, they'll bring fluffy stuff like feathers and stuff they find out in the field and leaves. And they'll create like a bedding in that nest for those eggs. And then those little eagles are hatched out. And big nest. They got all this room to maneuver around in. All they got to do is stretch their wings, open their mouth. Mama drops food in there. I mean, life is good. But as they begin to grow and get bigger, there comes a point where this place where they felt so safe, where they've been provided for so well, and it felt so good, it comes a time when it starts to change because they're getting bigger, and all of a sudden, there's not so much room in this place. It's getting a little, this is frustrating. And then it's starting to stink. Like, who's going to clean this nest up? And then Mama, because she knows the time's coming that those eaglets have got to learn to fly, she starts pulling that stuffing out of that nest. And eventually she gets it pulled out. And now when they sit down, they're sitting on those sharp sticks. And it's not so nice. And it doesn't feel so good. And those little eaglets are, they finally just, they'll crawl up on the edge of the nest and they just stand there. Ah, it's working. But they look down. They may flap around, but they've never flown. It's frightening. But eventually the day comes where they have to take the leap. Mom will even get a hold of them, fly up with them, and if they don't get it right and start flapping, then Mama Eagle will come down under the eaglet and catch it and bear that eaglet up on her wings, just like the Lord does us. Take them back up until they begin to, when they begin to flap, like, wow, this is so much better than that old nasty nest. It can be discomforting. And secondly, to go along with this, there can be a range of emotions around transitioning from one chapter to another. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine? Sometimes we think about the mighty Apostle Paul and Barnabas, these great men of God, with the armor of God on, nothing fazed them, nothing bothered them. Let me tell you, they were folks just like we are. And they went through the range of emotions. They didn't give up, though. They kept their eyes in the right place. But that doesn't mean they didn't have days they wept and stuff to deal with and all these emotions boiling over inside of them. I imagine if you caught Paul at the right time, he could give you a what for. Just like most people, maybe in a bad moment. But there could be a range of emotions. I remember when our daughter, Carabeth, graduated high school, and she felt led, she's going to go to college and get her 4-year degree, but she felt led first to give a year to the House of Prayer in Kansas City, International House of Prayer. So she went out there and gave a year to the Lord. And the first six months, they do the prayer and the fasting night and day. And then the last 6 months, she was in their discipleship training school. And she gave that year to the Lord. And then she came back home and went and got her degree. But the day she left to go to IHOP, to Kansas City, Kansas, which is as far as you can go, Kansas City, Missouri, as far as you can go in Missouri, and then you step in Kansas, you step from Kansas City, Missouri to Kansas City, Kansas, because it's a divided city. It's a long ways from here. And I remember being out in the driveway, and we'd loaded her little Honda car up, and she gets in that car. We hugged her and everything. She gets in the car, and my baby girl closed that door. Cranked that car. I can still see in my mind those headlights going down the driveway. Big old crocodile tears coming out Daddy's eyes. I couldn't even see well enough to see how many Mickey was crying. But it was hard. Were we excited for her? Yes, she's going after God. Was it hard? Yes. There's all kind of emotions. Like, that's my baby girl. Who's going to be out there with her to take care of her? Oh, Jesus, okay. But it was hard. There's all kind of emotions. You may be in that moment this morning where you're going through a change that you deem necessary. You may even feel the breath of God's on it, and you have an amen, a green light from God. That doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. If you draw the conclusion that everything that God leads you to do is going to be easy and no emotions involved, you're going to miss the boat. Because some of the boats He's going to want you to get on is going to require that. The third observation is simply, there will be major changes in your life. So decide right now. Decide that you're going to go through that. You're going to start and end your life's chapters with love and honor in your heart. Believers, we need to learn to leave well and arrive well. We need to learn to walk in honor, whether it's at your job, at a school you're attending, relationships, whatever situation it may be where you're sensing a change. Do it with honor and do it with love when it's at all possible. I'll say it like Paul said it. As much as lies within you, you live at peace with all men. There's a right way of doing the right thing, and there's a wrong way of doing the right thing. There's not really a right way to do a wrong thing. Yeah, that's right. So, think about that. That means make sure the way you transition well, so make sure it's God leading you and you do it God's way. Pray diligently. Sometimes you may need to fast about it, particularly on major, major decisions. Transitions are vulnerable times, so you need the Holy Spirit's help. Don't go it alone. Now, I want to wrap some thoughts now around this whole idea of being able to navigate these changes between chapters in our life. And here's the first thought that I put before you to consider and ponder. When closing a chapter, leave your baggage behind. Leave your baggage behind. Don't carry it. The word carry is missing. Forgive me for that. Don't carry it into the new chapter with you. This sometimes is a very difficult. This is particularly when we're having to make a change because of what someone else has done. Or sometimes it may be because of our own choices and it's wrought a change. Make sure you don't carry your baggage into your new chapter. So many people that have gone through and see their marriage end in a divorce and jump into another one without dealing with the baggage, find out that new husband or that new wife's just like the old one. And if you keep doing that, nothing's going to change. Because when we're going through change, that means there's going to be some change required in us. Let me share this with you. And if somebody getting a word? Okay. Somebody needs to hear this word. The alarm's going off. That means listen up. Seriously, I'm about to say something you'll want to remember, and here it is. When your bitterness ends, your healing begins. And that's true. And so many people that feel like they've been forced into, like you got fired at a job, or you got let go at a job, or, you know, I just showed up and he had moved out and he don't want to be married anymore, or she don't want to, yeah, whatever the situation, there could be 1,000 different things. But all that hostility and anger or unforgiveness, the grudge, the bitterness, if we carry that, if we don't let that go, we're not going to be healed. Your healing begins where your bitterness ends. So in closing a chapter, leave your baggage behind. Don't carry it into the new season. Now, the second thought I want you to ponder is, learn the lessons from the previous chapter so that you can pass the test in the new one. May I say to you, there is nothing that you have gone through, be it good, bad, or ugly, and be it ugly or bad because of your own choices or not, there is nothing that you have gone through or will go through that will be wasted if you put it in God's hands. Learn to put it in God's hands. There's a sense in which you leave those things behind. And then you put all of it in God's hands and you learn from what you've gone through. Now, here's something wonderful about the Bible. It is replete. It's full of examples of people who did the right thing and what happened and people who did the wrong thing and what happened. There is a correlation between a person's actions and the consequences that brings into their life all through the Scripture. And what makes that special is the Scripture has been breathed on by the Holy Spirit, so what's there is accurate and it is true. Even the lies are true. In other words, when the devil tells a lie in the Bible and the Bible records it, the Bible's telling the truth about that lie the devil told. Okay? Don't want to confuse you there. But because of that, that means when you study the Scripture, you're gaining access that will enable you to learn from someone else's mistakes and learn from someone else's good choices. Now, we can do that from each other. When the Spirit of smarts on us, that's what we do. You know, there's the old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, that's on me. I should have learned, right? So that's another place the Scripture comes in to help us to build our life on a good, solid foundation so we can live with stability. But if we don't learn from our failures, if we don't learn from our successes, yes, from our successes too, if we don't learn from those, then there's going to be something absent we're going to need in somewhere around the curve on our journey in another chapter. And I guarantee you, after Paul went on that first missionary journey and got a taste of what it was going to be like going into these cities and Jewish synagogues and preaching the gospel, he learned from that. He learned a lot from that. As a matter of fact, when you get to his second missionary journey, that's where you find those passages that start saying, and then they were going and they were headed toward Asia and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Then they turned and started that way and they were not allowed to by the Holy Spirit. You don't really see that on the first one, but what you do see on the first one is them getting out of the frying pan into the pot. So in the second one, I believe that they've gone to a new level of like, let's just make really sure this is God, that we need to do this, which direction. And when they stopped and said, Lord, you know, we're not sensing direction here, so we're waiting on you. He had a vision, and he saw a man in Macedonia saying, come over to us. So he got direction from the Lord. Sometimes we're not getting our words from the Lord because we haven't learned to wait. And we can become experts at getting our own words. And we can become experts in knowing who to call when we want a certain kind of word. Do I really want somebody to be honest with me and tell me? Or do I want somebody to say, amen, go for it? I mean, it's that kind of thing. I've made those mistakes. Most of us have in one form or fashion or another. But we learn across time. As I mentioned earlier, I've been pastoring 39 years. Like the commercial, I've seen a thing or two. You know, I've heard almost, if it can be heard, most of it I've probably heard. I've seen it. I've had to deal with it. And that's part of experience. But experience does not necessarily mean that you're learning the lessons you need to learn. And that's a new one I had to learn. Learn the lessons from the previous chapter so you can pass the test in the new one. I had a dream back in 2003. That dream laid out my future. And it was easy to discern at the time, but I can look back now. It was so full of more stuff than I was seeing then. Because now I can look back through it toward everything I've gone through. And so, Lord, this was letting me know what was coming. I believe the Lord is speaking a lot of times through our dreams. He's speaking to us through the Scripture. He's speaking to us in the ways He speaks. And a lot of times those words, we tend to think every one of them is for right now. And we don't hold on to them and do warfare with them till we're certain we know when that word has been fulfilled. Pray for me, I'll do a better job with that. I'll pray for you that you all do a better job with that. Because we're called to live this way. The third thought I want you to ponder is recognize the power of the pendulum swing between chapters. What in the world are you talking about? This is just a picture I saw because during transitions, particularly if you're if you're changing a chapter with pain behind you, especially when there's pain behind you and you're moving out of that into a new chapter, there's this pendulum swing that can happen. Every road has two ditches. Now, I'm speaking somewhat metaphorically here, so I hope you get this. Every road has two ditches. And so, if we got in the last season, if there was some people over here in this ditch, or if we got over here close to this ditch, and because of what's going over here in this ditch, the middle of the road is where you're following the Holy Spirit, you're in the Word, and you're obeying God, okay? But over here, you've been hurt here. You've been hurt here, and it hurts bad. Maybe you were responsible for a lot of that hurt. You might not have been, but it hurts badly. So, okay, I'm out of this, closing it, I'm getting out of this. You're going to step into a new season. Here's our tendency in the natural. to not do what I've already talked about, deal with the baggage, get healed. And we run by where we need to be, and we go over here. And it's not like we're consciously saying, well, I'm stepping back right here where this is what the Lord has, this is what the Word says, this is what the Spirit's saying. It's not like we're just ignoring that, but it's like I am not going to risk getting hurt like that again, so I'm going to get as far away from that ditch as I can. And now I'm off over here in a different kind of ditch. And I'm criticizing and I'm judging and I'm slicing and dicing instead of here. And if I'm running out of the camera, guys, back there, I'm sorry. But if I'm right here, I'm forgiving, I'm praying, I'm blessing, I'm learning to overcome my own carnality. I'm learning to not be controlled by my emotions, but bringing my emotions in subjection to the Holy Spirit. And that's not easy, but it's necessary. And if I'm not doing that, I'm over here and I'm just in a different ditch. But I like it over here better, because these people in this ditch used to be in that ditch too. So I've got a lot of agreement here. That's not what we're called to do. And it can happen from there to here too. You know? Because we're not like... Well, I'm not going to say that. That creates a sidebar I would take too long to explain myself out of. Okay. Recognize that this swing can occur. And I've gone through that. We've gone through that. And some of the theological shifts that we've gone through. Like, whoa, I hadn't been here on the Word. I've been over here. And the new is so awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's, woo, this is good. It's got to be more. It's got to be, woo, this has got to be more. And I'm over here in this ditch. That's easy to do. If we think about it like, I'm war eagle, war eagle, war eagle. Roll Tide, Roll Tide, Roll. We wouldn't do that. No, that's too important to us. Mm-mm. But if we're not careful, old Slewfoot, he'll deceive us. I think that probably means shut up. Okay, so let's finish this up. Next thought. Enter and exit every chapter of your life humbly while fully embracing forgiveness and grace. This is absolute key. Now, you could put a lot of things on that list. Why not put all the fruit of the Spirit? I believe these are two especially important ones for what I'm talking about this morning. When you're transitioning, and here's where forgiveness is so necessary. In order to be able to properly close the chapter behind you. See, this message is more focusing on the pain of being hurt and transitioning and going on. In order to close that behind you, you've got to forgive. Oh, but preacher, you don't know what you're requiring. I'm not requiring anything. That's between you and the Lord. But He said it pretty clearly. You got to forgive. But you don't know what they did. No, I do not. But the one who made you and knows all things is the one that says you've got to forgive them. So you're just going to have to take it up from him. Don't get mad at me. Don't run off in another ditch because I'm telling you need to let it go and forgive. You must. That's the way you're going to be able to be healed and hold and move forward with blessing in the new chapter. You cannot convince God to change His mind on this point. And you may be hard-headed with the best of them, but you are not going to change His mind on that. So we need forgiveness to be able to let things go, and we need grace to be able to embrace the new season. You know, we can go into a new chapter because victory and success. Most of us here this morning, we know about gain, we know about pain. We know about glory, we know about gory. We know the thrill of victory, and we also know the agony of defeat. We know these things. But our successes can fool us and deceive us like, I must be, I must be the next best thing to sliced bread. Look how God's blessed me and look what's happening. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Let me tell you something. It can be very costly to learn this lesson. I know. Your success can create great problems for you if you don't walk in humility with it. And that's where grace comes. The only way you're going to get grace is through humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves. You know, and that's when the grace comes. That's what James and Peter teach us. He gives grace to the humble. Lastly, memorize and stand on Hebrews 13:8. You've heard this scripture, many of you have all your life. For those who may not have, it's simply Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same. He's the same. Yesterday, today, forever. How's that helpful in transition? Because the same Jesus that walked you through that valley and through that pain, the same Jesus that blessed you for that great success, where you are this morning, He'll give you what you need. Your best friends may bail on you. Your family may deny that you even belong to them anymore. But He says this, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And He is the same. He doesn't change. No matter how much you're being required to change, no matter how much change you're going through, you better remember this. He will not change. He does not change. And that's a comforting word. Because He knows what you're facing, and He'll be there to help you. He'll be in your midst. He'll be there for you through the Holy Spirit, giving you what you need. And I've been saying this close to 3 years now, in the middle of all this stuff's going on around us. Listen, we're being bombarded left, right, fore, and aft. You can flip the channels. You get all that information you want to, and you need to be informed so you'll know how to pray. But let me say this, on top of what I just said. If you let that define who you are, if you let that information set the direction for your life, you can get your eyes off Jesus, or you may have your eyes off Jesus. Paul, everything he's going through, the Roman Empire wasn't a nice place to live in those days if you were a Christian. You ended up getting fed to the lions, pulled apart by horses, cover you with pitch and tar and set you on fire and use you for a lantern for their barbecue. It wasn't a nice place to live. But in the middle of that, Paul said, thinking of all his successes, about being the Pharisee of Pharisees, thinking about all the dilemmas that he had had to face as a believer. He says, forgetting those things which are past, I press forward to the mark of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. He kept his eyes on Jesus. He told the Colossians who were being deceived and pulled into other stuff. He said, you set your mind on things above, not here below. That's where Christ your Lord is seated. Jesus taught his disciples before he left. He said, you seek first God and his kingdom, his righteousness, and everything else will be handled for you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus must be the focal point of your life. You are Christians. He died for you. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your Commander-in-Chief. He's leading the warrior army of angels. He created all things. All things are held together by Him. He's the glue that holds the galaxy together. Christ and Christ alone is our sufficiency. Jesus Christ is your solid. He's your solid. He's your solid. No matter what kind of change you're being pressed through, He's your solid. Don't stray from Him. Don't take your eyes off of Him. Put your faith in Him. You can trust Him. Don't let any two-legged devil or two-legged somebody talk your eyes off Jesus Christ. Christ and Christ alone. And from that place, we war. From that place, we change the world. Because the message of the gospel is what transforms the human heart. No psychology, no psychology, no self-help methodologies can do it. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that transforms the human heart, that causes us to let go of the sin that entangles us, that changes us from the corrupt to the incorruptible, and promises us that we mortal will become immortal. All because of Christ. Paul said it, and I repeat it. I preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To some minds, that's foolishness. To others, the way they think, it's a stumbling block. But for those who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. That means whatever you need delivered from, whatever you need saved from, whatever you need healed from, Christ. Christ alone. Those of you in this audience this morning, you're facing changes. God is, maybe you're seeing a green light, and or maybe you're seeing a chapter closing, or you're in that, I don't know, is this God, is this the devil? You may be in that place. We believe in prayer. Paul got his word in a prayer meeting when people were praying. He got that directional word. On his second missionary journey, he got that word when he paused and he sought God and he was praying. Then he got his vision. And I believe there's people here this morning, you're needing that kind of word. So I'm going to ask right now if you would stand. Our worship team's coming. I'm going to ask our staff, any of our elders who are able to come and be up here, and the altar workers that are scheduled, I want you to come because I believe there's people who need prayer this morning. You're in a place and you just need direction. There may be a scripture the Lord gives them or a prophetic word the Lord gives them. Or it may just be you need prayer, and in that spirit of prayer, you'll begin to receive. You'll begin to see. And at the very least, the seeds will be planted and the fruit will come be born from these prayers. Your faith is exercised by coming up and saying, I need prayer. So I invite you to come. Step out right now. If you're here and that's speaking to you, you come. You have someone pray with you. Seek the Lord's direction. We're going to begin to worship just a few minutes. I'm going to release you. I'm not going to hold you long. But we'll stay here and pray with people as long as we need to. Okay? So if you're needing ministry, just step out and come on up right now. Don't delay. Just come on forward. We believe in the power of prayer. Holy Spirit, have your way this morning. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Show us what we need to see. Help us to know what we need to know. Lord, I pray for those in need of help this morning. Their hearts would be open to receive heaven's help into their hearts today. Would you come? Anyone else? Just come on up right now. Are there others? I feel there are others. You come. We begin to worship. Bless you. Come up. Come on up.
How sweet.
There's grace right now. Come into his throne room. There's grace and mercy waiting on you. Anyone else? Just step out. Maybe a new chapter is to give your heart to Christ this morning. To follow Him in baptism. Become part of this fellowship. Recommit your life. Are you fulfilled? Do you know you're where you need to be? Are things right in your inner world? Else. Become an intercessor in this moment. Pray for these receiving ministries. Pray with knowledge. Pray in the Spirit. However the Lord leads you. Just bathe this altar in prayer. Now make this declaration with me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we here at Grace House will close our chapters with love, honor, and forgiveness. And we will step into new chapters with grace. Now in the name of Jesus, I charge you to go forth and live this out. Have a heart of love. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. May the fruit of the Holy Spirit adorn your life beautifully. May the gifts of the Holy Spirit flow and flourish through your life. May the grace of God be strong upon you. May the peace of God guard your heart and mind. May your feet be shod with the gospel of peace. May the sword of the Spirit be in your hand. May your mind be covered by the helmet of salvation. May you remember whose you are and what you can do as a result of that. Now, in the name of Jesus, go forth and change this world. Amen. Thank you for being at Grace House today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Wednesday night at 6:30. Hope to see you here. The altar area remains open for you.